Now, as we draw to a close this look at chapter 3 of Joshua, of course, remembering that there are no chapters originally in the Bible, and we read the Bible as one book. But as we draw to the close this account in chapter 3, the title of the message this evening is this, simply this: a people that must cross over. A people that must cross over. You will see there, towards the end of this account, as we look here, particularly this evening, briefly looking at verses 13 through to 17, you will see towards the end of this account the glorious truth. The glorious truth that we have taught for us in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that it is this: all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. The Lord Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, his high priestly prayer in John 17, when he prays to his Father and he says, I've finished the work that you gave me to do. And he says, none is lost. This is the Father's will, that I should lose none that he has given me. None. Not one. Not one that Christ came into the world to save. Not one is has he failed to redeem at the cross. And not one will fail to receive his salvation. That's a wonderful instruction and a wonderful encouragement to us, even as we look on in these days where it seems small things are happening. God is still at work. God is at work according to his will and purpose, and he's still saving his people. Until each one, I wonder who that last one will be. It's a fascinating thought, isn't it? They probably won't know it, whether they were the last one to enter the sheepfold. Who will be that last precious soul who must be saved? We do not know. But every last one will be. But firstly, I want you to see here. Surely as we see that once again we look, the great command was that the Ark of the Covenant was to be held up, to be borne up by the priests and the Levites. These men who were given this specific task of the tribe of Levi to indeed perform these works in the tabernacle of God. Only them was granted this privilege. These men were to hold up, to bear up the Ark of the Covenant. We surely see here, as it goes forth before the people, we see the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who gives his life for the sheep. He had to go. He had to go before his people. He had to go before his people. We're told that he has tasted death for every man. He has tasted death. It was necessary, we're told, that the captain of our salvation should be made perfect through sufferings. He had to go before his people. He had to be the first fruit from the dead. The one who would first rise from the dead. Therefore, those who are all in Christ Jesus, we have that hope. We have that living hope. You see, if Christ Jesus had not fulfilled all that he came to do, if he had not fulfilled all God's purpose in the salvation of his people, if he had not fulfilled all of God's law and indeed satisfied the very wrath of divine justice, if he has not been raised again, there's nothing to believe. There's nothing to believe. We are miserable people, wasting our time, gathering week after week to just go through religious ritual with no hope. That's what the apostle says in 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ be not risen, we have no hope. We shall not rise. And we are to be pitied. Let us eat and drink and be merry, for today we, for tomorrow we die. That's what the apostle says. If Christ be not risen. So it was necessary for Christ to go before his people. And so the Ark of the Covenant, picturing Christ, had to go before the people. To cross into the Jordan. But see, we see by this Jordan which overflowed at harvest time. The Ark of the Covenant had to go into the midst of the Jordan, which pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore all the wrath of God at sin for his people. He was placed on that cross, set in place, even as the Ark of the Covenant. The men were to set in place, bearing up that ark, they were to stand still in the Jordan. And the Lord Jesus had to be set in place on that cross that he might draw his people unto himself. And then when he hung there still in the midst of that which obstructed the way. You see, the River Jordan here most definitely obstructed the way of the people to enter into the promised land. This was no stream at this time of year. It was a raging flood. That's what we're told here. It was at harvest time that they were to cross over. And that which obstructed the way of God's people entering unto eternal life, he has overcome. That which separated access to God Almighty, as pictured by the promised land on the other side in Canaan, the Holy One, that which separated us from God, he has overcome. The waters of God's wrath were poured out upon him. Him who is the object of his eternal delight. When he was made sin for his people, we're told he was numbered with the transgressors. We're told that indeed he was afflicted of the Father. The ark of our salvation. He had to go before us. If we were to ever know salvation and peace with God. Those waters standing up on a heap, they point to the sins of God's people having been cast away. As soon as the Ark of the Covenant had stood still there in the midst of the waters that came down from the mountains, even in Lebanon, the waters of the salt sea, all of them stood up on a heap. What a sight! What a sight! The waters could stand up on a heap. The waters of the salt sea, we're told, they failed. They failed. This surely points us to what God has done for his people. As far as the east be from the west, so far has he cast our sins from his sight. They are no more. They are no more obstructing the way. Secondly, we behold here the priests were to hold forth, bear up the ark of the covenant, which pictured the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. The Ark of the Covenant surely shows us, as we see those sacrifices which were year upon year, and as the blood of those sacrifices were offered up, sprinkled upon the ark, especially on the Day of Atonement. We see that indeed God's anger and wrath was for a season pacified. But if we are to enter the promised land, Him who is our true ark of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to go before us. He had to go before us. And so we see the responsibility as those men were to bear up the Ark of the Covenant. The responsibility of every preacher today and always has been is to declare forth, to bear up Christ, the message of Christ and Him crucified as the only way, as the only way of salvation, as the only way of grace and peace and mercy from God. It is the responsibility of all preachers of God's words in every age of the church. And this has been and remains the sole task, the only task and awesome calling, to preach Christ, to preach Christ alone, to preach Christ and Him crucified. As the apostle said, I purpose to do nothing else among you but to preach Christ, but to preach Christ. It is beholden upon the servants of God, each one in some way, to go and publish abroad the gospel. A word here and a word there. To preach the word, especially those who indeed are entrusted with the actual preaching of the word. To preach the word and to be instant in season and out of season. And when the apostle says preach the word, he doesn't just mean preach the written word. He's saying in the word to preach Him who is the word, Christ Jesus, as the Ark of the Covenant points us to. But see here that from time to time, that from the time in which the ark was to be carried before the people into the Jordan, it was the hardest time. It's not an easy time. You see, it's like when the Lord led Moses, who therefore led the Israelites out of Egypt. He didn't go as we have falsely been taught. He didn't lead them over that small little patch of water by the Gulf of Suez. That's not the part of the Red Sea they crossed by. That would have been much easier. They went far beyond there. And they crossed out of Egyptian territory beyond Sinai. In the Gulf, what's called the Gulf of Aqaba, which then leads into Arabia, which is where the mountain Horeb, the mountain of God, is, where He received the Ten Commandments. And they indeed came out of Egypt by a difficult way, by a difficult route. Why was that? Why is it that God chose to make this the time of the crossing into Canaan? Why now? Well, it's because it's the time. It's the time of year when the Jordan River overflowed its banks at harvest time, where it was so much harder. You couldn't wade across the River Jordan. You would have been consumed if you had tried to wade across. It would have been impossible to cross Jordan. And so it was the hardest time to cross. And I would say more than that, it was all but impossible. It was all but impossible. Because you see, salvation is all of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is all of God's grace. Salvation is all of God's almighty power. It's nothing of anything you do. It's nothing that anything we can do. And so in choosing this time, we see that only a miraculous working of God could bring these people across the River Jordan. God promised his servant, you see. He had promised Moses before. He would perform a great miracle before them. He told the people to sanctify themselves because the Lord will do wonders among you. Among you. Not just in your sight, but among you. See there that there is what salvation is. It is that which we experience. These people were to experience this crossing into Canaan. They were to experience the very wonders of God's moving here, of God's working to indeed enable them to cross into the promised land. He promised there would be a great miracle in the very presence of his people. And now God sends his people out. He sends his people out today. He sends his people out this day and tomorrow and next week until he come again. He sends his people out, each one to bear a good witness, to bear a good witness in the darkest of circumstances, in the most difficult of situations. He sends his people out to bear up this good witness of Christ in the world. And yes, to tell others of this great Saviour, of this Lord Jesus who was lifted up on the cross. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The Lord Jesus pictured here, lifted up in the River Jordan, that the people might be brought into the promised land. And that is indeed what the Lord Jesus has done for his people. He has brought his people into the promised land of knowing God. And indeed, to go in and out and find that pasture that he speaks of in that wonderful illustration of himself being the good shepherd who leads his people into the contentment of knowing God. We're to go out and tell this message. And it's not easy. It won't be easy. Quite often it is far from easy. Yes, it seems impossible. It may well seem impossible that people will heed the call of God's grace. There are many circumstances we could draw up before us. We could imagine and we could place as excuses to say, well, we can't go there. We can't go to these people. We can't go to those. Such people will never, they will never hear. They will never heed the voice of God in the gospel. But that's exactly where God sends us. Preaching the word in the power of the Holy Spirit to the drawing of sinners into the promised land, as typified here over the other side of Jordan. That's what God calls his people to do today. God is today even calling out people. He's calling out people who will hear his voice in the gospel to come to now believe on his son, to know the promised rest of peace with God, being pardoned of all sin. The question is to any who hear the word now, does God call you now to believe on his son? To believe on his son, to trust in the way across your Jordan, the way across which is only through trusting on the Lord Jesus, to come to the other side, to know the Lord Jesus and to know God, to indeed receive full pardon of your sin. Was he lifted up on the cross for you? For your sin to bring you to God, to have eternal life? That's the question. That's the message. That's the message we proclaim. That's the message that is going forth in all the world tonight, where the gospel is truly proclaimed. Thirdly, we see this is the call to you who he sends his message of grace and mercy. The call that all must receive. This is the call that you received if you know him. You must come out of your tent. You must come out of your tent. Nothing happened here. Nothing happened here until the people were removed from their tents. Just see that. See that here. And so it was when the people set out from their camp. Verse 14. So it was when the people set out of their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. They came out of their tents. The Authorized Version says they were removed from their tents. They were removed from their tents. Yes, there's a call. There's a call to belief. There's a call to belief. Salvation is of God. Salvation is all God's work. But God calls his people to believe on his Son. It's a command. And all who hear his voice, all who are his people, will believe on his Son. They will look to his Son and they will follow his Son unto salvation. And so the people had to come out of the tents. They would never have crossed over into the promised land, into Canaan, had they not come out of their tents. There comes a time when all who are God's chosen ones, when all who know themselves to be hopelessly without God in this world, who know themselves to have no way of salvation but through the Lord Jesus Christ, there comes a time when all such, those who are, we are told in the Word of God, are the called according to his purpose. There comes a time, a special time, a wonderful time, an essential time. There comes this time when such people who are drawn to look to the Lord Jesus must be saved. Must walk by faith and not by sight. Must let go of everything of the flesh. Must let go of everything of your own understanding, of your own works, and simply follow after the way that God has commanded you to go. And that is to believe on his Son. The rest that these people of Israel knew in entering the promised land of Canaan, you see, was only a temporary earthly one. It was only a temporary one. These things that we read of here in Joshua 3, they typify that which is known only through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now for many, they seek after earthly. They seek after earthly comforts of religion. A crutch of religion. If you think by coming here tonight, or coming to any place, or going to any place of worship, you will have peace, you're mistaken. You are deluded. There is no peace in earthly religion. For the things of this earth are but temporary anyway. They are temporary and of no eternal good. But we read, there is that which the people of God, those who God calls to trust on the Saviour even now, they receive. Hebrews 4:9 tells us, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. The word rest here is Sabbath. Not a day. People spend their time observing days, observing feast days, festival days, this festival, that festival. It's not talking about that. This Sabbath is a person. It's the person, the one and only way, truth and life. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a rest that remains in the Sabbath, the rest that is in Jesus to the people of God. That rest is that which was only typified by this crossing the river. The Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of it all. He has done it now. He has fulfilled all that which this typified. The Lord Jesus has fulfilled this at the cross. And those he draws to believe on him now, will know this perfect rest. Perfect rest. We get tired and weary physically. We lack so much peace. But the Lord Jesus says, as I said earlier on, he says to those who are weary, and these are the only ones who will heed these words. He says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. If you never know yourself to be weighed down by that which is your sin, weighed down by your own efforts which can gain you no peace with God, you will never come unto the Lord Jesus. But those who know themselves to lack this peace, they will find it. They will find it. I will give you rest. It's a perfect rest. It's a perfect peace for your soul. Fourthly and lastly, see this. See this church of God. See this people of God. And be encouraged. Be infused. Be stirred up to proclaim the gospel of God's grace in our day in which we've been placed. Because you've been called to the kingdom for such time as this. You've been called to God's service for now, not for tomorrow, not for last year, but for now. See, the need for the church of God now is to remain firm. It's so easy in these days where so many people are falling away from the truth. It is easy to fall with them. It is easy to go with them and keep their friendship. It is easy to indeed do that which does not cost us the persecution and the hardship that standing for the truth does. We are to remain firm. We are to remain solid, steadfast, until all who must be saved, this is the important thing, until all who must be saved are safely gathered in and brought to the safety of knowing salvation in Christ Jesus. See here indeed that this is what the priests did. This is what the priests did. They stood still. We see from verse 17. Then the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, what did they do? Did they flinch for one moment from where they were commanded to be set? No, they stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on the dry ground until all the people had crossed completely, completely over the Jordan. To look at what goes on in the church today, or what professes to be or claims to be the church today, you would think that there are not a people to be saved, that the work has somehow stopped, that there is no calling to proclaim the gospel anymore, that the gospel somehow has been changed. We must stand strong. We must stand firm. We're not to move to one side or the other. We're to keep going in the same path, in the old paths. We're to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered. There's only one faith. There's only one way of entering the promised land. We are to stand firm on it and not flinch from it. Yes, grace continues. Grace continues. Think on this as we think of these waters standing up on a heap. The waters did not stand up on a heap forever, did they? If you went to that part of the world today, you will not see the waters of the River Jordan standing up on a heap now, will you? The waters stood up on a heap until all who were purposed to enter that promised land did enter. And not until the very last sole of the last foot stood on the dry ground of Canaan. Yes, grace today, grace continues to hold back. Grace today continues to hold back that which the waters of Jordan represent, the wrath of God. We do not know how long this day of grace is. But that dry land of salvation is still open to sinners today. It's still open. And the way is still the same. Jesus Christ, the door and the shepherd of the sheep. And so let us stand up for our Saviour. Stand up for our Saviour, holding forth his unchanging gospel. We're told in Philippians 2, we hold forth the word of life. Let us cry out, this is the way. Walk you in it. This is the way. Walk in the way of Jesus. Follow him. Compel the people to behold the Lamb of God. To behold that Him which the Ark of the Covenant represented. The true way. The living way. To behold the Lamb of God which was slain and is risen again. The crucified, risen Lord Jesus Christ. Until each one who must be saved is safely gathered in. Amen.